Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen. Welcome to our kitchen table. I always forget to say that.
You should have been here. I say Christ is risen, and then I look at Sarah. She answers, and then she's like, why are you looking at me? It's like, well, waiting for your line. Well, apologies for not doing podcast for about 3 weeks. It was quite difficult to have a regular schedule before Easter, during Pascha, and even after Pascha. I was dead. And last week we tried to record, and it just was not good.
Yeah, we weren't in the right mindset.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter, but as you said before we started to record that, what a difference it is to sit with one text for a week and go through all these moods and then think about the same text again, and you find out that, well, sometimes you need to be in the right state of mind to actually get more out of the text than just reading it and going through it. And that's what we did last time, and because we wanted to do a podcast, a lot of people were asking for it, and it was more forced than anything else. So today is more relaxed day, and we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I think we just have a different perspective of the words, and we can hear them a little bit differently after.
I think more openly too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just start reading first paragraph.
We're on page 41. The second paragraph on 41. Having begun in such a way from the cradle, one must continue it later and during the whole time of upbringing, in childhood, in adolescence, and in young manhood. The church, its life, and the holy mysteries are like a tabernacle, tent, for the children, and they should be under it without leaving it. Examples indicate how saving and fruitful this is, such as the life of the prophet Samuel, the life of Saint Theodore, and others. These alone can even replace all the means of upbringing, as indeed has been done in many cases successfully. The ancient method of upbringing consisted primarily in precisely this.
Quite strong words from Saint Theophan, by saying even that all these things mentioned above can replace all the means of upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
We might find ourselves that we might not disagree with him at first, but if we stand back and look at the whole picture, we have to realize that the church was a little bit differently shaped. Not that differently, but there were more services throughout the day. If mothers or parents could bring them to more services to church, that meant that the parents covered or put under the tabernacle or the tent their children, which the holy mysteries like overshadow them. I think it's beautiful to see that what Saint Theophan is, at least from my point of view, is that what Saint Theophan is telling us, that bring them to church, bring those children to church, and let God work through them, and let them see what we can't see throughout the services. And even though it might not be a divine liturgy, it might be just smaller service, well, so what? It's still a prayer,
right?
You know.
Yeah. And also when the ancient method of upbringing consisted of this, it's like the lives revolved around the church instead of us fitting church into our lives.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and so it that was probably like the focal point of the life of many.
True.
And because of that, that is how they were raised, because that was the center of their life. And I mean, we're really trying to do that, mm-hmm. and staying away from the world, but bringing like Christ and our faith to the center of our life and making everything else around that. And that's kind of what it makes me think of when he's saying the tent. It's like you're covered with this grace of the holy mysteries because you're surrounded by it all the time.
Yeah.
Because that is your main focus and your main reason for being, mm-hmm. is
God.
God. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I partially, like, looking into this craziness, what's going on in the world, you know, I put in my notes, we should shelter children and us, but mainly shelter children from what's going on. And at first I was like, I'm not going to say this because shelter can trigger a couple of people like, well, mm-hmm. we don't want a shelter, they need to be strong individual, they can fight the world. Well, true, but when they are in still their formative ages, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite honest with you, even when I was, before I came to the United States,
mm-hmm.
even when I was in the United States, this realization that I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, what, 14, 15?
Right.
So the upbringing does not stop until adolescence and manhood or womanhood.
Sure.
And really, we as parents, we need to shelter children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not pushing any agenda. I'm just saying that.
Like, protect from the world.
Protect until they are raised in a way that church becomes first.
Mm-hmm. Their faith is firm enough that it won't be swayed by the world.
Exactly. And I have an arrow from shelter to parents natural, meaning it has to be, parents have to break their habits. If parents want to have their children to have a somewhat of a holy life, parents have to start changing themselves and creating this atmosphere where they bring the children to church,
mm-hmm.
under this tent or tabernacle of the holy mysteries, and
mm-hmm.
and let the children see that for their parents, this is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That does nothing else matters more in the world than God.
Mm-hmm. And not necessarily to church every time, but home prayer life even. Because the church,
true.
Its life in the Holy Mysteries is what he's saying. And like, we are the church.
Yeah.
Our homes are our own home church.
Home churches, yeah.
And our life in our home church is the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's in, like, yes, divine liturgy and all of the hours and services that we could possibly attend, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we as parents need to, it's like death to self.
Yeah.
Death to our own will.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to deepen our relationship with God so we can give our children that experience and example of how to live that holy life. And through that, we are helping to shelter them from all of the horrible ugliness of the world.
Sure.
You know? And I'm not, like, I'm agreeing with you. I don't think that we should shelter them from everything in the world, but all things in the world that are happening right now make me confused. I have no idea what's going on out there sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how could some kid know what's happening?
Exactly.
And how could we expect them to understand it?
We should not.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you hit the right point there, too, that, and I like to say it to, in my parishes sometimes, that to some parents is, and not just parents, that what we make home and bring it to church will be multiplied hundredfold.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do nothing at home, nothing will be multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
If we do struggle, take the cross of prayer, fasting, even prayer together with children,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just before their beds, crib, that just give the Sunday Divine Liturgy multiplies it. And if you have liturgy more often, then What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really it is up to us as parents to step up a little bit and
create that tent.
Create the tent.
Yeah.
Or well, extend the tent
mm-hmm.
from church to our homes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in these two examples that he gave,
yeah.
the one that I kind of looked up was St. Theodore, whose feast day was celebrated a couple of weeks ago. And his example, the example why he was somebody that was given as an example here is, I'm not going to go into an elaborate life story or something, but he was a young boy. His mother converted their house into like a brothel and was a prostitute. And she ended up hiring a cook. And this cook brought in so much wonderful business through the cooking and through the food that the mother had to, you know, decided to stop her prostitution. But this cook was a very holy person, and Saint Theodore like adopted and was under kind of like the reign of this guy,
the tent.
Really. And was fasting, was eating like morsels of bread during the fast, and so this cook took him to services and taught him how to fast and taught him how to pray. And so it was, even though it wasn't his mother, but it was some kind of guardian who was watching over him, you know, sheltered him in the mysteries of the church and in like the life of the church. And that's what ultimately probably saved him from a hard, really hard and horrible life.
True. Yeah.
Cliff Notes version.
Sure. And then the second example is that they give us Prophet Samuel, and well, beautiful life. I would not do justice to even quick notes from his life, but one thing that I think summarizes his whole life and is that before his birth, his mother dedicated him to God, and it's beautiful because, well, what are we human beings comparing to angels and God, you know? And to really take that will away from her, from the mother, and just to say, God, he's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Do what is your will for him.
Yeah,
it's difficult, you know, even thinking of my kid, but it's beautiful because, well, yeah. That's how we should be. And we can see it even these contemporary elders, Elder Kalopa, I think Elder Paisi, they came from very pious families and other saints, that they literally were either sheltered by the examples of their parents who brought the mysteries to their house.
Sure.
Or they were just pious people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Elder Kalopa, he in his book from his life, he says that every night, in the middle of the night, they would wake up, the parents would wake up their children to pray the midnight office, but they would enter into their special room, which was filled with icons.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing it is to wake up in the morning at the candlelight and just enter the room, and you are standing between, I don't know, hundreds of saints, and they are waiting for you to pray.
Yeah.
Join them in prayer to God. So, it says a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
many blessings.
That alone replaces upbringing.
Yeah.
Just this virtuous life that is focused on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Next. Okay. When a child's powers begin to awaken one after another, parents and those who are raising children should double their attention. For when, under the influence of the means which have been indicated, the longing for God will grow and increase in them and draw the powers of the child after it. At the same time, the sin which dwells in them also does not sleep, but strives to take possession of these same powers. The inevitable consequence of this is inward warfare. Since children are incapable of conducting it themselves, their place is understandably taken by the parents. But since this warfare must be conducted through the powers of the children, the parents must strictly watch over the first beginnings of their awakening, so that from the first minute they may give these powers a direction in harmony with the chief aim towards which they must be directed.
Well, as we said, the upcoming big, or as Stefan says, upbringing starts from the cradle.
Yeah.
And, well, it is really a fight between good and evil from the beginning. And formation of little nuances that might look childish, but can also be
beginnings of roots or something.
Beginnings of roots of anger, frustration, yeah, gluttony, or whatever it is. And well,
yeah,
as parents, our primary job is to get ourselves to heaven. Meaning we have to find all the passions that have hold of us and try to uproot them from our heart, so our heart becomes purified and blessed. Through this process of learning how to fight these passions, we learn to recognize the triggers of those passions and how they begin, what's their process, and sometimes even the result of those passions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think Saint Theophan is saying that if we are keen on ourselves and see how we act, how we deal with these passions, then we can look at our children and see very easily, and we can determine, is this beginning of a passion? Is this something that needs to be corrected? Or is this just a child's play?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's our job. To recognize good versus evil, and if it's bad, correct it immediately.
Right.
It's impossible to reason with a 2-year-old mm-hmm. or 1-year-old, but for them to know it's bad will, in a way, automatically form them down the road that, well, it's bad, but then they can just ask, why is it bad?
Yeah. Well, it's if that it's bad and how to deal with it and cope with it, because just because we tell them it's bad doesn't mean that it's going to go away.
Right.
But we have to give them tools too to help them understand how to uproot them. But you bring up a good point, because I, in my notes here, I have that this is a prime reason why we should be doing an examination as we as adults and we as parents. Doesn't have to be just parents, but just adults in general should be doing a daily examination of conscience at every night before we go to bed. I'm guilty because I'm not doing it every night, and I need to and I want to, and every confession I tell you, like after I go for confession, I tell you, I just have to start doing it,
yeah.
You know, but because the more that we can identify in ourselves these passions that are super deeply rooted, the more easily we can identify them in our children.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be able to fight and uproot those seriously deep roots and passions before we can give examples of why our children should be fighting them.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
You know what?
You can't say if a child is angry but they see you angry every single day, that stop being angry but you're angry, then
you can't
teach
you'll a
just
lesson.
Contradict yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like I think first and foremost, this paragraph is written to the parents to like pull it together. You
yeah.
know, go to confession, examine your conscience, have a deeper understanding of what your soul is like. Like, you might go and have this, like, really baseline confession, like, I lie, I'm gluttonous, I'm proud. Fine.
Sure.
But where are those coming from?
Yeah.
Do you know? Like,
yeah,
those are, like, the main things, but where?
Yeah.
You know? And so...
And well, very good point. And... it's sometimes, well, frustrating as with myself or as a being a priest that why those sins are appearing again and again on that list.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
sure,
I totally understand. Yes.
They are appearing, but our goal is for them not to appear.
Right.
And sometimes the best thing is, well, if you start to fight with this passion or that passion, fight it. Not lukewarmly.
Mm-hmm.
All might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Full force. And get to the stage for that. If you go to confession every other week, that next week I'm not going to sin this sin.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. And I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And then if you win, well then... guess what? You found something that you know how to win this passion. Continue.
Yeah, or you're proud, and there's a sin.
Well,
you know what? I'm just being funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, she got me. No, but I was thinking more in a more humble way.
I understand. Sorry.
I mean, look, but this happens too.
It does.
Doesn't
I mean,
it?
It happened to me, and I'm not to divulge
Father,
anything.
Father, I have not sinned this sin, but I'm proud. Dang it. This is another sin.
Or I have not done this, or I have done better in this, and then the next day, it's like, boom, 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 attacking you from all directions, and you're like, geez. I shouldn't have even said it out loud because I'm just a proud jerk and now I'm getting it 10 times worse.
Yep.
Oh, it's
like,
horrible. We're off track. Let's stop. Okay.
Father, I've seen this, but I'm also proud right now. Covering all bases.
Oh.
Well, it's not funny, but I think... I hope that our listeners get the point.
Well, you can... I'm sure everybody can relate.
Yeah.
Well,
if not, anyhow,
whatever.
Maybe.
Well, I have a couple of notes.
Go ahead.
If you have,
go ahead.
Okay. So the last sentence, the parents must strictly watch over the first beginnings of their awakening, so that from the first minute they may give these powers a direction in harmony with the chief aim towards which they must be directed. And like we can correct them, we can correct our children or help them root out any passions that we want. But if it's not in direction, in like a godly, holy direction, then we're doing it in vain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have here, Godward decision making and thinking.
Yeah.
Like that, and yeah, how do we do that with a 2-year-old? You know, but we do it as much as we can, and we're going to start... I think that this is what he means when he says, when the powers begin to awaken. We're starting to see it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that we're even close to being fully there.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I'm sure that in 5 years, we will return to this point somehow, and we'll be like, well...
Yeah.
Listen.
Just kind of like when we started this podcast before we had babies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and listen to the first couple, I think I want to crack up every time because I'm like, we had no idea what was happening. And when we listen, if we come back and listen to this episode in 5 years, we're going to be like, we had no idea what was going on. There's no, we're clueless people. And
yeah.
For sure, that's how it's going to
sure.
be.
But I'm at this point of our life, this is how we see it. And
yeah.
Well... and well, it would be quite beautiful to have an older couple here.
Mm-hmm.
Not old.
Older couple, a couple of older children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we could like compare notes and like have a good discussion that, well, how do you see this text?
I would totally love that. That would be so awesome.
That would be great, wouldn't it be?
We should like revisit these two paragraphs in
sure.
that.
Yeah.
That would be... Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, sounds but who's cool. gonna do it? Any takers? All right. Well,
I overtook. Do you want to say anything else?
No. To be quite honest with you, this was much more beautiful and informing podcast than last week's.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with this.
Me too. I'm thankful that we can pull it together.
Yeah. Sometimes. All right. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
God bless you. And if everything goes well, you'll hear us next Sunday. Or Monday.